Well, hello. This is Jared Kieber, and this is the PGPC podcast, Prince George Pentecostal Church. This is our first episode, and we're going to give it a go. The purpose of this podcast is pretty simple. We wanted to be able to talk about some things that maybe we wouldn't talk about, or at least in depth on a Sunday morning. Give you the opportunity as well to ask some questions, so you can go on our website, PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.ca, I believe, and you can fill out a form on there asking pretty much just about anything, and we would likely cover that on a podcast episode. And you don't have to go to Prince George Pentecostal Church to do that. Part of what we're doing as well is maybe if you're not comfortable coming into a church, but you have some questions, go ahead and ask them. Yeah, it's PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com. I had to double check that there. It just comes up when I start typing, so wasn't sure if it was .ca or .com. But yeah, so that's kind of the purpose of this podcast, and I've entitled this this first episode, which probably not every episode will have a title, but I figured, you know, it's the first, so we might as well entitled it The Perfect Cast. And that has nothing to do with the content. I don't assume that my content is perfect, but rather a kind of a loose connection, a podcast, and a cast is fishing, and I like fishing. And it reminded me, as I was thinking, of a movie from the 90s called The Goofy Movie, which has the perfect cast in it. If you haven't watched The Goofy Movie, probably don't watch it now, because it's probably not nearly as good as I remember. But as a kid, I remember watching that. And Goofy wanted to take his son Max on a fishing trip. Max wasn't overly into fishing, but wanted to go to a concert to impress a girl by dancing on stage with some famous singer. And in the end, it all works out because Goofy teaches Max the perfect cast, and the perfect cast turns out to be a dance move that Max uses on stage in front of a national audience and impresses this girl. And so, you know, that's kind of how my brain works. Loose correlation there in order to make it possible for me to talk about something like fishing, which I do love. I grew up fishing, and remember going out with my grandpa quite often. He had a little aluminum boat that he had set up, so it had center console steering, and we would go out on the lakes in the Okanagan and catch a lot of fish. Primarily, we would use you know, the old Ford Fender with a wedding ring behind it, and I think I heard someone once say, if you can't catch fish, knock them out. That's the Ford Fender method. But grew up fishing. I think when I was 19 or 20, I started getting into fly fishing a little bit, and when we moved up to Prince George, just stopped. Most of my money, most of my efforts went to other things, hunting particularly. But yeah, within the last year or two, I've gotten back into fishing a little bit. We had a men's fishing derby about a year ago now, and we were out on Dragon Lake in Quesnel, BC, and went out fly fishing and caught a couple of really nice trout out of my belly boat. One was, or the first two were about 21 inches each. And I hooked into one, and this is like any good fish story. I lost him right in my belly boat, but he was bigger than the other two. I figured probably 4 or 5 pounds. And yeah, that got me hooked back into fishing, so much so that I've been getting back into it. This year, actually at our teen camp, we had a speaker who really loves fishing, and one morning I decided I'd go out fishing with him. And so we got up at about 5 a.m. and decided to head out, and we loaded up a little boat in the back of my truck, drove up to leave the camp, and the gate was locked. So we were kind of sitting there and going, what do we do? But luckily for us, the middle was locked, but we were able quite easily to pop the gate off the hinges and head out and go fishing. But we probably should have taken the gate being locked as a hint, because the fishing wasn't great. I caught one small brook trout, and that was about it. So all that said, fishing, podcast, why not make that loose correlation? Now we can get to what we actually want to talk about in this first episode, and that is mental illness. Jumping right in the deep end, I shared in a sermon a number of weeks ago kind of a journey that I've been on, and so I want to talk specifically about depression. And if you hear some sirens in the background, that's because we're located right beside a fire department, and that may happen every now and again. I don't know if it'll turn up on the recording or not, but we don't really have a quiet room to record, and I'm just kind of sitting in our sound booth, and so it is what it is, and you may hear sirens every now and again. Sorry, taking a drink of my coffee, which is a wonderful thing. All right, well, let's jump in. About a year to a year and a half ago, my wife and I, Caitlin, started a journey that was interesting. I remember maybe kind of the start of some of that for me anyways was we had our second child, a little girl named Jensen, and not long after Jensen was born, we started to notice a little bump on the top of her head, and originally we thought, you know, that bump is probably the bone coming together over the soft spot in her head, but it kept getting a little bit bigger, and so our doctor said, you know, I don't think that's what it is. Sent us in for an ultrasound, and I remember maybe one of the worst moments in my life was we went in for this ultrasound, and I had dropped Caitlin and Jensen off, and they had gone in first, and I came in kind of late, and we went in, and the guy's doing the ultrasound, and he didn't really say anything to us, but just said, I got to go get someone, and so he brought in a higher-end technician, and when that happens, man, as a parent, you're kind of sitting there going, what's going on? That technician actually kind of put our minds at ease afterwards, but the amount of stress was pretty significant in those few moments. And anyways, what ended up happening was Jensen had what was called a dermoid cyst, which grows with you in utero. And it wasn't life-threatening, but the thing about it is it actually continues to grow as you continue to grow. And so we had an appointment made to head down to Vancouver, about an eight-hour drive from where we are, and go to Children's Hospital to have that removed. And so that was kind of a stressful beginning of the year. That was in the summer. Also during a time where forest fires were kind of wreaking havoc on the province, and when we were supposed to go down for Jensen's operation, the highway heading down closed on the Friday. I think we were heading down on the Tuesday, and there's a back route, and that highway closed for a little bit, so that back route opened back up, and we said, we got to go before these fires close everything down. So it was just kind of a hectic trip, but it was funny because once we got down there, we talked with the surgeon who was going to be doing, I believe they called it a craniectomy, and he's sitting there going, okay, here's the deal, we're gonna take this out. I'm 99% sure that this is a dermoid cyst, there's a little layer, kind of leathery layer, the way that he described it, called the derma, which is between the skull and the brain. And he said, you know, this cyst is sitting on top of that, and what could go wrong is if we punctured that would be an issue. And there's, you know, this small, tiny, you know, quarter of a millimeter kind of thing. And he said, that doesn't sound like very much, but for me, that's a lot of room and it'll be fine. And so we went through that and everything turned out well. Jensen did fine. She's doing great now. Tons of sass she has with us. But that was kind of the start of a year where there's a lot of stress and a lot of different things that happened. And in January of that year, we decided we were, well, not in January, but that fall, we decided we were going to move. We were going to sell our house and move across town. And we were pretty excited about that because we were going to be paying off some debt. And we were going to have our own space. The house that we were in, we had a tenant, we rented out. And so we put an offer in on a new house and moved across town. And the way that that went down was that we looked at a number of different places. And in our price range, the things that were there, man, there just wasn't a lot. And we walked into the place that we ended up buying, and within 15 minutes, we were writing up an offer because it was just so much better than anything we'd looked at. And so in our minds, we were very excited. But what happened was when we got in there, we realized it maybe wasn't quite as good as we first thought, and there was some work that needed to be done. We've actually just started some of that work. I've been painting over the last weekend. But anyway, so that was a little bit of stress, and there were a number of other things that happened that I won't go into, but that began to create significant amounts of stress. And in January or February, Caitlin was sitting with a friend, and you know, being kind of a guy and not as aware as I should be, I didn't spot that not everything was really all right with Caitlin, my wife. And she was sitting with a friend and kind of talking to her about how she was feeling. And the friend said, you know, you're not okay, essentially. And so Caitlin talked to me, and we ended up going and talking to our doctor. And Caitlin was diagnosed with depression. And so we started walking through that process, doing counseling and those sorts of things. And you know, she began to, probably around April or May, bounce back, I guess would be a good way of saying it. But the interesting thing was, again, me not maybe being as aware as I should have been, as she was kind of coming up, I was kind of going down. And so that's where my story kind of picks up, is things just went really south. For me, I would consider myself a fairly mentally strong person, you know, a water under the bridge kind of guy. I don't let things bug me too much, or I try not to. And what I began to notice slowly, or actually not even that slowly, pretty quickly, all of a sudden little things started to just eat at me. Energy wasn't there, and interest in things wasn't there. And I think the thing that really got to me was at that point I was kind of training. I enjoy hunting, and the way that I enjoy hunting is backpacking particularly. I love stone sheep hunting. I haven't got to do a ton. That fall, actually, a buddy and I had attempted a stone sheep hunt. I won't go into a ton of detail on that, but when you do 18 kilometers in one day with 70-pound backpacks, you realize the kind of shape that you need to be in to sustain that kind of hunting. And so I was training, running particularly at that point, and I would run 5 kilometers once a week, and then I would run a 10K once a week. And sometimes I'd do 2 5Ks in a week and a 10K. And I was at the point where I could run 10 kilometers in about 53 minutes, which for me was really quite good. You know, I know for your intense runners, that's not very impressive. But for me, that was pretty good, and I was getting into decent shape. But I remember going for a run one afternoon, and I got maybe a kilometer and a half, 2 kilometers, and I had to stop. And that was kind of bizarre for me because it wasn't something I was used to. I was in good shape, and I kept trying to push through and start running again. But I just, like, I felt like I was going to vomit. I felt anxious, which, again, for me, I'm not an anxious person. I tend to be fairly laid back, maybe even too much. But I ended up walking the rest of that, and it scared me. And now, even talking back on that, it seems kind of silly almost. But in the moment, that that really was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back that made me go, I think there's something wrong, because physically I'm not okay. Again, there is anxiety sitting in my gut. There's twice in like a week and a half period, actually at work, where I had anxiety attacks. And I remember sitting in a staff meeting, and the only way that I can describe it, both times were actually staff meetings, so I don't know if that was a trigger, and you know, I was just letting stuff get to me a little bit. But the only way I can describe it is when you watch a movie and everything blurs out except for the one person, and it kind of like gets quiet, almost like when a bomb goes off, or you know, there's a you know, an explosion, and it gives you that kind of cutout sound and that ringing sound. That's maybe the best way that I could describe it. And so anyways, things weren't going well. I remember talking to a good buddy who I talk with on a relatively regular basis, and I started saying, you know what, if someone was saying to me what I'm saying, you guys describing what's going on, I said I'd be telling them to go and see a doctor, and I'd probably guess that they were dealing with depression. And he said, yeah, you know, I think you're probably onto that. I was starting to wonder a little bit. And so I went and saw our doctor, and doctor kind of gave me some assessment to talk to me a little bit. And yeah, I scored pretty high on both a depression and an anxiety test. And so after talking, you know, is interesting, because we were already doing counseling with Caitlin, but she recommended doing some counseling and also taking medication. And so I'm about 6 or 7 months removed from that now, and I would say there's probably about four things, or there are four things that I look back on and go, man, those things were really helpful in helping me walk through a hard season. And so I just want to talk about those briefly, and they're not in order of what was the most helpful. It's more just maybe what's the easiest to talk about. But the first was medication. And I know as soon as you talk about medication, especially for depression or mental illness, people have all sorts of opinions, especially in the Christian world, because we kind of look and go, well, what about faith? And I would say, you know, faith is actually the most important thing that helped me through, but medication also was very helpful. And so I'll just explain why I think that that's okay quickly, because I know especially in Pentecostal circles, which is the church that we belong to, we're kind of a movement and a tribe that emphasizes faith, and you will run into people in our circles anyways who will say, you know, if you're taking medication, you don't have faith that God can heal you. And I just want to biblically for a minute kind of say why that's wrong. First is because if you read in the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor named Timothy, and he says, hey, take some wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent illnesses. So right there, you essentially have the Apostle Paul writing in the Bible to this young pastor, and he, if you were to translate it towards today, he's essentially saying, hey, it's okay to take you know, Tylenol if you've got a migraine. It's okay to take medicine to help you get better. And I think there's another thing that biblically we could look at to say that this is okay, is that if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you get to the doctrine of the Imago Dei. And what that means is essentially that man is created in the image of God. And so when man acts in a way that imitates God, that's actually honoring and glorifying to God. So God is about the business of making people whole. So when we as people do things that help make others whole, that's actually glorifying to God. So the entire idea of medication and doctors and you know, kind of the health I don't want to call it an industry because I don't think that's the right word, but this whole idea of health and wellness, when we help people to function in a way that's holistic, we're actually honoring God by functioning in a way that represents his image. Now, you could go too far that way and say, well, you never need to have faith that God can do things outside of what's normal, and that would be incorrect as well. But I think with those two things in mind, there is a good justification for the use of medication, especially when looking at things like mental illness, depression, and just being completely frank and honest with you was huge, a huge help for me. The second thing that really helped was counseling. And give me one second here because I'm going to take a drink of my coffee. And before we jump into counseling, just on the medication thing, I know, especially in Canada, we're currently going through the legalization of marijuana. And so people could say, well, okay, would you be pro, with that argument, would you be pro marijuana use? And I think that's a good question. We'll actually talk about that on the next episode. We're going to talk about substance abuse, things like marijuana and alcohol, and what do we do with those. Tune in to the next episode and you'll hear about that. But the second thing that was very helpful for me was counseling. And so I had mentioned my wife and I were already going and seeing a counselor. And so we continued that process. And it was just good for me to be able to talk through some of the things that were triggering where I was at. It was good to be able to process some of the things that I needed to do to heal and to get back to kind of a normal. Our counselor gave me a book called Unmasking Male Depression. I believe the guy who wrote it was Reginald Hart. Good book, was very helpful. I actually need to get that back to him, so now I'll remember that. But counseling was super helpful. I think with both counseling and medication, there's oftentimes a resistance, especially baby boomers. Maybe millennials are a little bit more open to those things, but there are lots of people out there who the idea of taking medication or going and seeing counseling, they just won't consider it. They won't do it. And can I just say, those things are really helpful. They're not a sign of weakness. Well, maybe they are a sign of weakness, but the truth is we are weak. We can't fix everything ourselves, and sometimes we need help. And so I just say, swallow your pride and do what you need to do to get better if you are struggling with mental illness. For me, I think without those two things, 6 months removed or whatever we are, I don't think I would be where I'm at. And, it's kind of the idea of like a broken bone. If you don't get that thing set and if you don't get a cast on there, it's eventually, I guess, gonna heal, maybe. But you get that thing set and you get a cast on it and it's gonna heal a lot quicker and properly. So maybe look at medication and counseling kind of like a cast for a broken bone. The third thing that was really helpful for me was friends. It was interesting because in a sense, I didn't really want to be around people. But in another sense, having people who I could lean on was super, super helpful. I remember texting one of my buddies and saying, I broke my brain. And a couple days later, we were standing working on a project and goes, so how'd you break your brain? And I said, well, here's kind of the deal. And I opened up and shared some things. And my buddy and guys were not usually good at this. He did a really good job just kind of listening and supporting. But I just kind of shared where I was at. And he said, if you need to talk anytime. And that was huge for me. That made a big difference having people like that. My other good friend who I talk with quite often, another pastor, was huge. Every week he would listen to me kind of work through what I was going through, and man, I just can't tell you how much having a few friends who were there to talk to and to work through things with was for me. And you know, guys especially, we don't always do that well. I think I was reading a study, can't tell you where it was, unfortunately, this time, because I don't remember, but it's saying, you know, a lot of guys now would say they don't really have a good friend, and that's not healthy. So I think guys especially, we need to lean into relationship, not just for when you're going through things, but, you know, just in general. And then the fourth thing that really helped me out was faith. I can't begin to tell you how much my theology or what I believe about God was able to speak to what I was going through emotionally and psychologically. So, you know, I talked about anxiety. I'll give you this example. I talked about anxiety. And for me, I've never in my life, I'm 31 years old now, never in my life have I struggled with anxiety. It's just not something that's been there. And so it's completely foreign to me to all of a sudden have crazy anxiety issues. So much so that, you know, my wife and I, we watch Survivor together. She's into Survivor. It's on season like 1,000, I think. And she actually just found out that they're now allowing Canadians to apply for the show. So she's very excited about that possibility. But we sat down to watch the season finale of Survivor, and I was dying. Like, I couldn't handle it. I had so much anxiety just watching a TV show. It was rough is the way that I would put it. But in the midst of not feeling, you know, at peace, I knew because of my theology or what I believed about God that God through Jesus gives me peace. And so even though I didn't feel that, I was able to say, you know what, I don't have to follow my emotions because I know that there's something bigger and truer than the way that I'm feeling, all right? And that made a profound difference to me, was that I was able to say to myself, you know what, I may not feel it, but I know that God through Jesus has given me peace. When you talk about depression, I know that God in Christ has given me joy. You know, and so I didn't always feel those things in my spirit or in my emotions, I guess would be a way of a better place to kind of ground that. But I knew it in my head. And I know a lot of people will say, you know, well, in the midst of these things, God gave me a supernatural peace or a supernatural joy. And that didn't happen for me. It wasn't that my emotions changed. It was that my mind was able to lean on the truth that I knew. And so my faith really helped sustain me through anxiety and through depression. And so, you know, those things are kind of the four things that I would really begin to credit for where I am now, which is doing a lot better. So with all of that being said, I guess where I come around to is, if you're someone listening to this, you're probably in one of two camps. One is that you don't have mental health issues, you know, like depression, anxiety, or the myriad of other things. And I guess I would just say, you know, you're probably going to know somebody at some point who walks through depression, anxiety, or some of the other, again, myriad of mental health issues. And, you know, walk through things with them well. Be gracious. Be an ear. Don't pull out, you know, well, don't see a counselor or don't do what the doctor says. That's really not very helpful. What is helpful in my experience is much more just being a support, being someone who can be there to be leaned on. I think too, having a good basis in the Bible is helpful, because when you know that Jesus is your peace, you can speak to somebody with anxiety and say, you know what, you may not feel this, but this is where you can stand. And that can be helpful as well. If you're someone listening to this and you do have mental health issues, I hope that you've found some useful help in some of these things. If you haven't, I just encourage you that there is stuff that you can do that's going to be beneficial to you. Don't be afraid to lean into good doctors, good counseling, good friends, and lean, most importantly, I'd say, into faith. Don't walk through hard things. Don't walk through anything, in fact, apart from faith. So if you're listening to this and you don't have a faith in Jesus, my encouragement to you would be to consider that, because I think that you will be able to walk through these things much, much better if you do have a grounding of, you know, in the midst of all the hard things, there's still hope. And I think that's really where you end up when you trust in God in the midst of mental illnesses. You know what? I may not feel like I would like to feel, but I have a hope that goes beyond what I feel. So, all of that being said, this has been the Prince George Pentecostal Church Podcast, PGPC Podcast, and hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next week.